Peace, family. Welcome to another episode of Fresh Pharaoh Entertainment. We're your hosts. I'm Horace Pharaoh.
It's the light down the ascended.
And the right? Nah, dang it. Hold on. I had it. I lost it.
Hold on. Why everybody coming up with different interests?
Nah, because I was about to. Last time we did this, the dawn changed and I came on the spot, bro. Ah, I had it. I lost what I was going to say. Bless it, boy. Right, the guy. That got you another banger for the people. Yes.
Hold on, bro. Donovan, you change your intro every episode.
I'm saying, like, I don't get no. I could have came up with some if I had, if he gave me a warning, like, damn.
Yeah, but I just do it on the fly, straight off the dome. You know how I get down.
So you all read the episode. Y'all read the title, Astrodynamics. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do an in-depth breakdown of the concepts and some techniques and utilizations, and essentially what is the astral world and what benefit does it have to you in this realm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So without further ado, let's hop on in this motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? So when we're talking about the astral realm, one, I want to emphasize that there are many topics, well, my fault, many books on this topic alone. Like, you can find, you can even find books called Astrodynamics for Dummies. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a numerous amount of utilities for you if you want to get into this subject and find the utilizations of this topic and everything that it holds true. You know what I'm saying? But still, within here, we're going to go deeper. I'm not going to say deeper than the books, because the books are very important tools. And some of them, I think, are better than others because they teach you the technique. We're just going to really elaborate on what the astral world is and its uses. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so a few books I would like to mention before we get deep into it is I know Astrodynamics by Robert Bruce.
That's one I read.
That's trending all over Amazon, I'm not gonna lie.
One is called The Light, it's like The Light Worker's Guide to the Astral Realm. I read some of that. And one is called Astral Projection. There's again numerous, but those are the three that I'm aware of personally reading out of some of those, and I think that those are all good books. Like I said, the Dynamics one teaches you a lot of techniques that you can actually use in real time with the book, which is why it makes it a more immersive experience. So if you really want to learn about the techniques in doing it, I do think that is the master book in that aspect. But the other books give great light on the concept, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when referring to astral projection itself, I feel like it's safe to note that though everybody think it's something you do, you have to try to do, you do it unconsciously every night you sleep. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like instinctual to the body. Like, whether you're aware of it or not, you are astral traveling.
Just don't remember when you wake up.
Right. It's like I said, it's very instinctual in the unconscious mind because it's something you're supposed to do on this earthly plane, right? And so just because you don't recall it doesn't mean that you didn't do it. So, but we'll get deeper into exactly how to maneuver through that later in this episode. But essentially, I think I want to start with that. The human body got like three parts to itself, right? Mm-hmm. So think of it like this. Say you have the human body. The human body is simply tied to this earthly realm. You can't take it nowhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the shell that you leave behind. The second part would be your spirit, right? Your spirit can exist on Earth and the astral world. So the astral realm or world, whatever you want to call it, is where your spirit goes every night. That's that innate thing we was just speaking of, that it takes you there automatically without your knowledge, because your spirit leaves the body when you rest and takes itself to that area, right?
Right.
And in the astral realm is where I believe your subconscious and your spirit can meet, and through that you shoot yourself messages. This is why when you wake up from your dream, the more you remember the more conscious you were during that traveling session, right?
That's like a transition state.
Mm-hmm. And you can retain more information, because remember, the information you get from that is to be used. That's why the subconscious language is through symbols. That's why symbols and certain things pique your interest when you see them, because you want to learn more about them. It's not you consciously wanting to learn. It's your subconscious telling you, hey, there's something about that. So when you have the ability to bring your conscious mind with you to the astral realm to talk to your spirit. That's what we call lucid dreaming, which is something I'll get a little deeper in later as well. But for not lucid dreaming, astral travel, I think they're pretty much interchangeable. I think it's just the titles you give them. And those essentially are how you bring the messages that you had. And really, the messages I'm referring to, it can be anything. It could just be like the troubles that you have within your day that's been on your mind. When you sleep in your spirit, it goes to the astral realm and it's trying to answer them problems
for you. Like I notice a lot of times I had dreams and it'll be about some shit that done happened either that day or a couple of days before. Right. Like it might not even be in a literal standpoint, like you reliving some stuff, but it'll be something you'll wake up and it's like it's kind of almost like it's a message for that situation. You know right. what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is. It's actually at your subconscious mind is getting the information from the astral world and going like, okay, hey, the answer to this question is this. So when you have multiple reoccurring dreams of the same thing, usually what you're trying to be told to you is that there's something deeper in this whole lesson, this whole thing for you. That's why you're having this reoccurring dream in the first place.
See.
And so go ahead.
Now, I was about to say, I have that intuition, like I've seen things before, but I struggle. I cannot remember these dreams, like as dreams at least.
Well, see, that's where I think this is where astral dynamics shines. And I'm going to get into a lot of the techniques later. But a lot of the techniques, you're self-explanatory through the book. It really takes you from the bottommost things, which is just Reiki energy. Feel like literally just you can do this right now on the podcast. Just close your eyes for a second and feel energy moving into your left hand. You know what I'm saying? You're going to feel a little tingle. You know what I'm saying?
The book talks about body awareness, tactile imaging and everything. How to conduct the energy and stimulate the energy in specific parts of the body.
And you can do it in real time. It's not like something you right. have to sit down. Like,
I feel it. Yeah. It's kind of hard. As soon as you said close your eyes and spin your head, I said, I'm going to try this shit.
Yeah, and you can truly focus on that pinpoint of that energy. And the first step, so like you said, if you're having problems with astral traveling, like you said, it's not you. Because you're doing the after traveling, it's just, you're just not remembering it. And another thing Robert Bruce specifically states about is like it's called an out-of-body experience. But you can have an out-of-body experience and not remember the experience. And those are called failed out-of-body experiences.
I thought that was called like an ECE, some like extracorporeal experience. Is that what it was?
Am I after dynamics?
No, I'm talking about like another word for that one was ECE, extra corporal experience.
No, those still relate to an out of body experience overall. The overall arching thing of it is still an out of body experience, but you can have failed ones, but your body still attempted to. You see what I'm saying? And really, like I said, you have to think of it like this. Since the spirit can only live there, sometimes you're trying to project almost the body out there. And so, like this is where sleep paralysis comes from. That's like when you wake up, you wake up because the spirit has came back to the body. You see what I'm saying? It came back from the astral plane. That's why you wake up. So the whole thing, sleep paralysis, is when the body gets down first. You see what I'm saying? So the body is there, but your spirit hasn't arrived yet. So you're sitting there, right? That's why people be telling some, I see my sleep paralysis demon. You seeing things from that realm. Or really just spirits, and that's why he'd be so spooked out in that moment, because the body can't exactly process what's going on with just the basic functions of the mind. But when the soul and the spirit come back, they can then tell you, or you then can actually have that movement. Now, me personally, I've never experienced sleep paralysis.
Okay, thank you. I thought it was just me. I thought like everybody thing, and I was just the only one. Like, damn,
I've experienced it once or twice, but mine wasn't scary. Because I feel like it's one of them things where, you know, people will really let their thoughts get out of control and, like, they'll scare themselves, you know what right. I'm saying? But when it was me, I was literally just chilling in the bed, and then it was like I had reached that perfect point in between sleepiness and awake where it was like my eyes was open, but I couldn't move shit, but I ain't panic. I was just like, bro, this shit feel weird. I was awake for like 5 minutes. I was just laying there looking. I was like, bro, this is all weird. And I just went back to sleep. And I woke up the next morning. I was like, bro, that was crazy.
And that whole experience is either, like I said, your body is there first. Or let's just think of it like, yeah, your body just came back first, right? Before mm-hmm. Before the spirit has came back. And when you're coming back, you're almost everything regarding what we call astral travel works in layers, right? You have that tantric state. And then even from there, you move into the different levels of the tantric state. And from there, you go into the preparations and the separation. And you have all these versions of how things correlate to your out-of-body experiences that help you even lead to even mm-hmm. having out-of-body experiences. Now, of course, mm-hmm. even things like your lunar cycles and your the frequency you emit, like on the electromagnetic spectrum, based on, you know, the strength of your melanin, how much you don't charge it, also affects your astral projection abilities. But it's all innate. There's nothing that says you can't or can't. It's just being able to have access to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, so back to what we're saying.
Well, not only access to it, but, you know, being able to retain that, what you gain from the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right, exactly. And that's what the whole point of the subconscious coming along with you. So when I say subconscious, how do you turn the difference? Your spirit goes, because the spirit and the body are not the same. The spirit goes, but when you bring the subconscious with you, it's like saying, okay, my spirit is there and Horus the Pharaoh is there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't look at them as the same. They're not the same. They're not interchangeable. They're separate entities itself, because one of them is tied to the body. One of them is just earthly. Though the subconscious has so many abilities, can be programmed and yada yada, and it's used to get you to all these levels. The point is, it's still here. And so when you bring it along for the ride, it's there for you to be able to use that conscious effort to go ahead and break down the symbols that you might see and come back with information, which is how you eventually have, you retain more of your dreams. You know, in certain dreams, you retain way more information than others because there was a lesson in there for you.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's almost like a receiver, like a signal receiver. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's like it's tied to the body, yes. But you need this in order to be able to translate what you know you're getting from the next plane, where the body can't interact.
I was thinking more like a cell phone. Like normally you leave your cell phone at the crib, but sometimes you take it with you, and that's why I feel like that's the subconscious. It's the phone.
And see, and you got to think of it as a great analogy, because then you got to think of it like this. How do you increase your signal? How do you increase your frequency to reach all these other planes, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about them also, but there's so many ways to raise your voltage. You can have an alkaline diet that can reach, that can raise your voltage to give you higher access to the magic. Sure, you can also raise your melanin charge, which can also be raised through an alkaline diet or just sitting in some sun. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All you gotta do is from the sun, raise some of that melanin. Lily
pads.
Right. Huh. Go ahead. What are you saying?
I was about to say, before we get too much further, what do you have to do to avoid the sleep demon, bro? Because I do not want to start any of this and then have to deal with that. Because that sounds terrifying.
Ain't no sleep demon, man.
Ain't no sleep.
That's demons. How you avoid.
There's no there. See, exactly. The whole idea of what you're thinking about sleep demons is just your body coming back before your spirit comes in. There's no bad thing because of that. There's not a problem with that happens. It's only like, to be a demon if you see a demon.
Exactly. Okay. I was just going to say,
how you know you're not seeing spirits in that moment, right? Because some people call, don't forget, the astral world has so many names. People call it the spirit realm. It would be the same thing as the avatar state for Aang, right? So the avatar state, remember, he saw good spirits and bad spirits, but he still was able to see some of the bad spirits were really good spirits when he chilled and talked to them. So the spirits are going to show yourself based upon how you need to see them. It's the same way some people say, oh, I saw an alien, and the other person like, man, I saw the deity Kali. They're both one and the same. They're both energies, but depending on what you need to see is how the spirit is going to represent itself to you.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of them things like, you know how people say if you see a dog, you know, don't run away from it, or like don't be scared of it. Like they'll react to your fear, or really any animal. It'd be like, depending on how you react, that's how they're going to react. I feel like it's the same way. If you're going into it with fear, feeling like, oh, I hope I don't see this, or, you know, you coming up with images of something you don't want to see in your head, that's going to be exactly what you do see as soon as you go to sleep. So it's like if you're focusing on, you know, the positive instead of the negative, like if you're focusing on the oh, I can't wait to see what I learned from this experience, or, you know, I can't wait to have the opportunity to try to have out of body experience, or, you know, whatever the case may be, instead of, damn, I hope I don't see the sleep demon. I feel like you're gonna have better results.
For sure.
Because realistically, or just even metaphysical or cultly, you got to think of it as just travel. It's innate. It's going to happen regardless. The only difference is you being conscious of the experience. And there's ways to push and provoke the conscious mind to travel with you. That's the whole point of the out-of-body experiences. And you can start from the base level by doing simple stuff as Reiki, Reiki energies, Reiki cheer, Reiki training. And Reiki, I don't want to use the term. People are like, ooh, what's that? Just think of the flow of energy through your body, like I said in the first one. If you read the book Robert Dynamics, like, I mean, I got my words. Robert Dynamics. But I remember I read this book over a year ago, and I constantly go back to the book when I want another practice or when I forget something very explicitly. But essentially, a lot of it becomes almost innate. You don't have to try it after a while. Like I said, the Reiki energy thing. You can feel the flow of the energy by closing your eyes and imagine all the energy flowing into your hand. You tingle. I can do it almost innate. I do it like, you know, like, what's that thing? People will move the magnet outside of thing and the ball will follow it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels just like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A little experiment with the ball. The magnet be like far away from whatever object, but the object will still be moving with the magnet.
Yeah, it's dragging it.
Yeah, it feels just like that. It's your magnet, right? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can control the energy just like that. Think of, like I said, if especially with the mindset you have towards it, if you have the understanding that melanin gives off electromagnetic energy, right? And the energy inside you can be charged the same way. Use your hand as a wand, right? And move that current through whatever part of your body. So then, say you move all the energy to your hand, another method he says in the book, imagine like a ball of energy forming in that hand at the same time. Like you got a Kamehameha blast in your hand.
Right? I was just going to say that.
I was thinking of a Sanguine, but hey, it works for whatever.
Oh, no, that works perfect too. That's probably even better representation if you want to think specifically on holding the energy in your hand, right? Yeah. I think that's why I found it so easy, because I've already seen it. The repetition, right, from the animes and shows. I've seen it so often. Doing those things were, I'm not going to say boring, but they were, some people might have more trouble. It was instantaneous for me, right? Because I was used to it. Right, sure. I don't watch enough superhero stuff to see it, but man, they do this all the time. This ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Doctor Strange showed you what it looked like. Everybody loves to
reference. Is he cutting out, or is that me?
Say what?
What'd you say, Roger?
I was saying, wait, was he cutting out? Or was that me? Because I couldn't hear what you just said.
No, that sounds straight to me.
Oh well.
You need me to repeat? Because I don't remember.
What repeat what you just said. I think you were connecting.
I was saying how the energy, I said from watching all the shows we don't watch, it was basic for me to grasp the concepts already, because I've seen it so many times through repetition. See what I'm saying? So think about people our age probably have already had certain tactics engraved through us through the repetition, through this TV.
Just finna say that. Like, imagine, we talking about astrodynamics, right? And this sounds like a crazy topic, but think about how many times you see shit like this in TV, where somebody go to sleep and they can travel, you know, to another dimension or another place. You know what I'm saying? Just off their mental strength. Like, we done seen this so many different times throughout the media.
And we know the subconscious is programmed through symbols and repetition, right? So I feel like everybody really in our generation can ask. I mean, like I said, you do it innately, but it's easier for people to understand the Reiki energy. Why? Because we've seen it so many times. That's all they've been showing us. And they haven't really had to hide it. Sure, there's those that still deny it. And there's some people who just talk about the concept. Like I said, the technique is what really matters. Because you can talk about astral travel all day and never be able to really be conscious when you do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, most people have problems with like the projection of exiting the body, which I feel like in the conscious mind, bringing the conscious mind with is the hardest part. Because why? You have the ego pulling back on that, right? This is why when people have sleep paralysis, they see demons and stuff, because the ego wants you to be scared of the experience. You see what I'm saying?
It wants you to learn from it.
The ego is centered off of self-preservation.
Yeah, it doesn't want you to do it. Remember, see, exactly said, self-preservation. The ego wants to survive. It's going to tell you whatever it needs to survive, but when it feels threatened to such a degree, it's going to be like, hey, homie,
We don't need none of this nonsense. You saw what just happened? We don't need that, right? Because right. It feeds off your fear of it, right? Mm-hmm. All you got to do is simply know that you do this. What J. Cole say? I can't say I'm going to stumble my words, but y'all know what I'm talking about. From applying pressure, you got to sometimes you got to show them over.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, which song? Boy, I was wrong. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I ain't gonna say
sometimes you do it the way you do it, but remember the way you know you did it. Bitches are different. Some shit like
exactly.
That.
Some people don't know you do it how the way you do it, so you gotta show someone how the way you do it. And this is innate. And I was gonna get into this deeper too, but first let's keep going, like essentially what it is for the viewers who still fiending for it, you know what I'm saying? So when we talk about lucid dreaming, like I said. And astral travel, we talking about bringing that consciousness to this realm of world. So the spirit does it innately, but like I said, the one known as Horus the Pharaoh is just tagging along with the spirit, right? Because they're not the same. So the use of this when the subconscious mind comes to give symbols, and Horus the Pharaoh becomes a decipherer of this information, so he can retain more of the dream, and so you can use it and break it down on this plane to help you go, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all hear me good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you heard. I didn't know if you broke up again or like, cause I'm okay. My bad. That's on me.
Nah. And so, I'm gonna go into another, not a tangent, but the next part, cause as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, I said there are three parts to what we call the human being. You have the body, the spirit, and the last part is the soul. The soul also can thrive in the human world, goes to the astral world, but also goes to what we would call the beyond, the heavens, et cetera, which mm-hmm. pretty much shows that the soul, as we know, is infinite in nature, right?
It can exist outside of the physical, pretty much, so it's not tethered.
Right. And what that also means is that the astral world, if that's the case with the soul, the astral world is also part of what we call Earth. It's still part of the illusion. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I say that because think of it like this. I've said it in many episodes, even in the last episode, I think in the Dogon tribe, when that everyone came down to this realm by choice, right? Mm-hmm. You chose whatever traumas you experienced, you chose whatever lessons you wanted to learn, et cetera, right? So if that's the case, if you know you put yourself in this deep slumber to eventually use all these traumas that you need to experience to elevate yourself, why wouldn't you place tools here for the help you get out of it? The astral world is one of those tools. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if you leaving breadcrumbs for yourself.
Right. You leaving breadcrumbs to help you get back to your God state, to get back into God. So you know what I'm saying? The Godhead. That's what you're trying to go back to, the Baphomet. You left the crumbs here intentionally because you knew, okay, when I understand X, Y, and Z, it's going to lead me to X, Y, and Z. Or whatever, you know what I mean?
No, it makes sense.
Right. And so the soul can thrive in what I call the end goal, pretty much, right? And it's the only thing real about the human experience is the soul. Because like I said, the astral world itself is just, it's a limit to how far you can go to it. And that's because it's still a byproduct of this earthly plane. So that's why the ego is still trying to hold you back from it, because it knows it's you going to the next level, right? Because if you can go to the astral world, you can then strive to go beyond that.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's coming together. Right. Yeah, I like it. It's coming together.
And so another thing that also I believe is an important concept when we're talking about astrodynamics is, or just even when we're talking about the soul entirely. This is why the pilgrim, I'm always calling them the pilgrims. I don't think I'll ever release that from my slang now. But this is why they try to trap you here, because they do not have the capabilities of reaching what we call the beyond, right? They lack the technology. And by technology, I'm simply referring to the melanin and the electromagnetic charge of it, right?
Yeah, didn't we speak on this? It was a while ago, but we were talking about
the AI episode.
Yeah, we're talking about how they try to compensate it with technological advancements within the physical world.
Right, mm-hmm. Because they can't truly attain it, right? They can't truly reach the things we have because they do not have the technology. So to make up for the lack of technology, they study you, and then they take your stuff and put it in technology. You see what I'm saying? They try to
replicate what you can do.
They try to replicate you. This is why they study you. This is why they keep us in the states we are. They just want to use you as an observation. Because everybody, that's why they got to keep you down in some areas. Because they know if you go to your fullest degree, They know they ain't got nothing else to go. So for a lot of the pilgrims, what they try to do, this is why they okay. I'm gonna correlate this to like an episode from the first season and bring it all together. Remember how we did the metaphysics of love, right? Like early in our show, And so remember in that episode we said we felt love when we knew that love was one of the most spiritual things you can do on the earthly plane, right? Or experience. So through love, which is one of these spiritual connections, a pilgrim can almost falling in love with a black person is like a ticket, right? Like getting the ticket, like a pass. You see what I'm saying? To bring the stuff along with you. What was that? Someone said, So that's like a ticket to bring them along to that world with you, because they do, like we said, they don't access technology. So how else would you find a way to get there? You have to have a buddy pass, right? This is why you see so many white people have either having kids or having or falling in love with a black man, right? Think of it like this. Or I heard an example specifically from Brother Panic. He said this is why
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They said that's why she adopted all those black kids. Because think about it. Let's say when Angelina Jolie passes, right? Mm-hmm. Her kids here. When her kids pass, who their spirit gonna try to call? Mama, right? You want to see your mama again, right?
They're gonna find her from the depths of wherever.
Right. And that's a buddy pass. You see what I'm saying? That's a buddy pass. You're bringing them to where they can't go. Because it's like a free ticket, right? Okay. It's like that homie you bring to the party. Like, we invite him? Nah, he cool. Trust me. You see what I'm saying? It's literally that exact same situation going on. And that, I think, really shows testament to the power you have within yourself and what you can utilize to advance yourself. This is why you see so much of it going on these days, right? Now, I'm not saying if you like a mixed person, that's like a bad thing. It doesn't mean you can't have access to any of the magic. I'm not saying nothing like that. I'm not saying you can't love your mama, because, you know, it's still your mama. But there can be a genuine pilgrim that could fall in love with a black person and get that access, is what I'm saying, because they don't have the technology or the true access to it. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's validity to this, because, look, we got a few white followers. I be seeing them, you know what I'm saying? They be like, oh, yeah, you sick. You know, yeah, he's spitting. I know that for a fact. You know what I'm saying?
They out there.
Right? And so this is why you see such a resurgence of it, because as people have saying for like the past decade, this is the end time, they bloodline descending, yada yada. We already know all that. We've been through that. This is why you're seeing such a uprise of it. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, it's happening, and that's part of the byproduct. It's like, okay, if I can fall in love with this person, I can go ahead and leave this reality. Right? Because they don't have the access to come back or none of that. They're not, or let's just say, original in nature, to keep it blunt, right? And see, understanding the concept of this thing, like I said, is one thing. But how to access the knowledge and use it is taking it to another level, right? You got to do the work.
Putting it in practice.
Yeah, you got to do the work. That's why I think almost said it again. Astro Dynamics.
What about to say?
Yeah, I had kind of Robert Dynamics. That's why I think Astro Dynamics is a great. All of them are good books, but I think if you're looking specifically for technique, this is the book that you want to go to, because its whole premise is showing you how to do it. It even showcases, like, you know, certain phenomena you will experience within your astral projection, or you could experience it. You know, things like that, but it shows how all you have to do is put the work towards it. It's really probably the only in-depth guide that gives you techniques on every level throughout the subplanes. It teaches you basic skills like even walking to running to flying. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like I said, astral travel, you know, astral travel also stems from your solar plexus chakra, right? And so this generates really it's like a as above. I'm trying to see a way I can explain it. Operates almost like a as above so below concept, specifically for Earth being able to generate it from your solar plexus chakra. Like I said, it's as above so below is one of those seven laws of Tahuti. It operates on infinite planes, but I'm saying like specifically to the Earth. Let's just call it an Earth based realm, right? Mm-hmm. on that plane, your astronaut, your astral traffic, your astral realm is your as above, so below. Specifically in that container of the ego being humanity and the astral realm, right? That's your container. That's your glass box. But the glass box doesn't mean it's a ceiling. You see what I'm saying? Because you can still see through the glass box. So you know that's not the ceiling. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And from that, putting everything you have into it is what, like I said, what you'll experience when learning to truly astral travel. You're going to run into a lot of energy work type issues between you and yourself. This is how you find
it. It's not easy.
Say what?
It's a lot of work. That shit is not easy.
You're going to find a lot of blockages within yourself, which will relate to your chakras. Because, again, as we stated, the chakras are very important. But the chakras are not the end goal either. Those are still bound to earth. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Though you use those in line with everything else to expand beyond the limits. Right? So when you're doing the energy work, you're going to realize when you're trying to make the energy flow between certain parts of your body, you're not going to be able to feel it tingle. You know what I'm saying? And you might start like, but why can't I feel it? Because you have a blockage that's stopping you physically from reaching that part. Like, I've always had it. Like, for example, it was easier to go through my left arm than it was my right arm.
Oh, my God. But I literally tried that, like, a minute ago. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't do my right hand. It's kind of crazy.
Right? And for me, like, my right arm, it was always harder to get it to the same energy as my left. And, of course, you can blame that simply on it being, like, a dominant hand type thing. But, like, I always had issues getting it to my legs. You know what I'm saying? I said, dang, this is why my hamstrings are always so tight. I said, it got to be why. I said, now it makes perfect sense. You know what I'm saying? Back on 10 with the stretches, but legs on fuego, right? And that also shows the energy work issues have physical repercussions as well. It's everything. It's mental, physical, spiritual, all of the above, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because everything goes through the same thing. And I think another thing, like I said, when you're doing it, astral dynamics break down. Actually, it breaks down every specific place of you can have these energy blockages and why or where has the most energy towards it, right?
Yeah, it's like the feet and the hands are really high energy places. So he talks about them a lot.
Right. And as I said earlier, I think he goes in depth on the solar plexus chakra too, as I just mentioned, because I think this is even in the book. I might have marked it. Let me see. Oh yeah, look at that. So he even states like in Western occult and spiritual and from spiritual writers of the 19th century, they pretty much dropped the genital chakra because of the modesty at the time. So essentially that solar plexus chakra. But they wanted to make up pretty much the seven, so they adopted the solar plexus as a logical replacement. So really, we were talking about the actual, you know what I'm saying? The good sign, you know what I'm saying? That was the actual sacred energy that you could pull from directly. They just call it the solar plexus chakra. That's why the area always looks like it's been mixed with the root chakras, you know what I'm saying? Because you would pull from that. And I think another important place was the belly button. They said the belly button also connected because you were to the astral realm because you could streamline your consciousness through your belly button, right? Which makes sense if you want to look at it in the idea of that's why you connected by umbilical cord through your belly
button. Yeah, I was just going to say that's the thing that's probably been the most connected, or how do I say this? I feel like at one point that was our direct connection into the higher plane. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because you're literally getting fed the genetic material. You're literally getting fed the knowledge, the information. So this is why. Why do you think they cut that thing so quick, right? Why they want you to cut it? It ain't even supposed to be cut. You're just supposed to wait till it fall off because it falls off eventually. It's just waiting for you. It's like, all right, we done gave you all this knowledge we can give you in this moment. You're good now, right? But they teach you to cut it instead to stop that, to go ahead and reduce some of that information you're going to get. Making your own information or your own travel harder. Just because it's cut don't mean you can't do it, though, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying that motherfucker fall off, you know what I mean?
They want to sever the connection as quickly as possible.
Right, and as we know, the stimulation in those areas pretty much gives you larger energy and stuff. Like I said, I think that center That center is where, like I said, it streamlines you to the astral plane, and that way you can throw your conscious. It's like a highway, right? You can throw your conscious on that wave. When you get the out of body experience, you can ride that to the astral plane, right? So now you're there. So mm-hmm. when I was talking about the out of body experience, you go up there, you streamline back through your navel, come back, then you go back to your mind. You're there, right? But when your body awakens first, it reaches back down before your consciousness. That's where the whole ideas of sleep paralysis and that stuff comes from, and the jokes about all that stuff, right? And but similar to meditation, in the same light with astrodynamics, you can still, like, okay, for example, you know how I told people like, I think this is one of the big things, even with teaching people, because they feel like everything has to be by the book. Or has to be a specific way to do it. It's simply what works for you.
Personal journey.
Right. So, like, when I tell people you don't have to meditate in no lotus position listening to meditation music. I said, if you listen to Youngboy, you can lay down, listen to Youngboy, and meditate through that. Like, no cap. And the same thing works for this. You can use music to induce a specific trance. You know what happens. It happens to you all the time when you listen to music. You vibe at a level you don't even realize. And then you wake up from it. And you're like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? The whole time you were driving, right?
But the music put you in trance,
right? So you can use those along with trance affirmations to propel yourself out and start working on your out-of-body experiences. It's like when that song, it's physical just as well as spiritual. This also goes to the importance of music. You know when the song physically takes you out of your body when you hear it, especially for that first time?
Yep, I do know.
You know what I'm talking about? You hear something good and it throw you out.
Bro, that's literally like some of the best music some of the music I hold the most dearly is literally because the first time I heard it, it literally transported me to another place. But like, you literally just remember the experience the first time you hear it.
And sure, you can actually relate this to certain music. It's like, for example, hip hop and jazz. If I hear like a song that's hip hop and then hear like a jazz sample in it, I'm already out there. You see what I'm saying? Right? Songs take you in it, and I can go through tons of songs that took me there. One song that took me there recently for the first time, it was Denzel Curry and Robert Glasper off his new album. It was called Melt Session. Took me there, right? And I was able to have an out-of-body experience hearing that first song in the morning on the way to work one day. Right?
You said you heard it on the way to work?
I had already been listening to it, but one day When the album dropped that day, I listened to it when I was on the way to work. First song took me there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The jazz hip hop fusion was able to propel me out, and I was able to use that to put me in a tantric state to have a quick out of body experience, right? Yeah. And like I said, it relates to the physical too. Like, you know, health and fitness definitely aren't no type of necessity to have an out-of-body experience or achievement. But it does help in a certain sense. You know what I'm saying? It can make it easier to, I think, like, almost hold the relaxation in certain states, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to – it doesn't change you from working. But I thought that was something that was interesting, too, throughout my research as well. Like, it's pretty much how you view yourself and how you actually are can help you with these experiences, right? And the amount of depth you can go into the astral project, like I said, it will really just requires you to do your own self work, your own self evaluation, because you can go as deep as the ear and hear astral voices, right? Which is a different level of being able to break down the symbols you hear and get specific words throughout your stuff, right? Which all goes to the level you are at specifically in your journey. Right. Of course, those are some of those weird phenomenons, but essentially, these are all things that you can do. I mean, you can go as deep as talking about like astral winds, actually thought was I think that's something y'all would really like when y'all either read the book or just do your research or even experience. I think that's a very important aspect to showing you the levels of how deep you can go. But then it shows that though the astral realm has limits, you can push them. You can still hit that limit before you break that barrier as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And of course, there's even I think there's Akashic records on it too, or like stuff.
The Akashic records. This is towards the end of the book.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he mentioned something in the book, but there's also like recovery practices you can use. But essentially, like I said, I'm not about to just read everything from the book verbatim. You just got to take it upon yourself to take it to that next level for you. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it's the end goal is for you to get up out of this reality. Ain't nobody gonna push you. No one gonna force you to do it, but yourself. You have to want it yourself. Subconsciously, you have to hear the calling, right? Subconsciously, you got to hear the. Already said that part. The calling, but it's like I said, you have to push yourself to get through. And like I said, think of astral projection as layers, and even the projection itself. Like I said, just getting the energy travel to work through in the right way is one thing. Like you can astral travel with just like your head and your neck. You know what I'm saying? And you can leave the rest of your body because you haven't unlocked the channel flows. Though I do think it is more unlikely to do it with less body parts. It's easier to do it with more body parts. It's not impossible to do it with less body parts. It might just mean you're able to throw your consciousness out there.
But I'll repeat that one more time.
I'm saying it's possible to astral travel with just certain parts of your body because you still haven't unlocked all the channels. Like you can astral travel with just your head and your neck. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. It's just a floating head and neck in the astral plane.
Yeah, you can do that, but it's a lot harder because the rest of your channels in your body ain't unlocked. It's not saying it's impossible. It just requires a lot more. It requires a lot more from the body, right? So you could wake up fatigued after an event like that. Whether if it was conscious or unconscious, you can wake up fatigued from that old experience because it's easier and it's less energy on the body to just do it as a whole, right? And that goes to show you about the blockages in your body, right? The Reiki healing you need to do, stuff for that, right? Because then you walk into the thing, you walk into the possibilities of having failed out of body experiences, which is kind of like you can have a false awakening. And that's also explained in the book too, which is basically like a real time out of body experience where you're, you know, like doing certain things, but like the physical body is almost left behind and everything is being done by the astral body. Like, okay. I mean, it's really like almost like Doctor Strange, but a little less specific. It's like how you can leave the body sitting in a chair and then go get some coffee. You know what I'm saying?
Come back to the mug sitting with the legs crossed chilling.
Right. You can do things in a certain world, but you're not really in the astral realm. You're almost like in this, it's like a limbo state, right? It's like a limbo state. And another thing is to mention, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think kids are able to do it a lot easier too. Because you don't have the constructs, you don't have as many blockages because you haven't experienced as much. I mean, of course, you haven't experienced as much trauma when you like 3 and 4. You know what I'm saying? So little right. Kids tend to do it a lot. This is why they have so many. This is why kids remember their dreams so often. You know what I'm saying?
Kids are just super connected, just right. In general.
He's like, man, my mom was in the Pegasus last night. He's like, go ahead now, Susie. You know what I'm saying? But Susie got a whole in-depth story about how she was talking to such and such. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't know who the man who was in the dream, but he gave me a pony. And she got it in-depth because they don't have the blockages left to stop them from it, which, again, shows you the only thing. So the trauma plays into role with your astral travel as well. All these things come behind to help you push yourself out of that that boundary, that guide. Because, like I said, you do it unconsciously, but the effort and the practice in doing it consciously pushes the envelope for yourself to do it in another level, right?
Right.
And even practicing, you know, you can do things like, I think, it's this one thing called, like, conscious reentry, which will definitely help for people who experience the sleep paralysis we spoke about earlier or trying to avoid it. You might want to practice, like, conscious re-energy, re-entry, but not necessarily in a, you don't have to do it like exponentially or do it for extended periods of time. You could just try to do it for like a minute, 30 seconds. And though it takes a lot of work, it's not one that I think leaves you too exhausted unless your blockages are just truly that high. And I think to counteract that just requires you to work on your trauma simultaneously, right? You can use the astral travel almost like as a guide to see how far you're progressing. Like I said, travel that. Even if doing it day, just feeling that little tingle in your arms. Just, that thing. Just warming up a thing on every day. Say what?
Say baby steps.
Yeah, just forming over saying God every day gonna help you take the pain away. You know what I'm saying? For real, okay, y'all saw y'all, y'all ain't catch that? Take the pain away for saying God.
Nasty.
Ooh, that's a Naruto reference for y'all, but y'all know some of y'all watch anime, so y'all good. But on that note, I hope everybody has enjoyed this episode. I hope everybody has found the use and the benefit of the knowledge, you know what I'm saying? Definitely, we gave a few techniques, you know what I'm saying? But I recommend reading a lot of the books that we mentioned. You know, yeah. Again, that's what, Astrodynamics, Astral Travel, one is Lightworker's Guide to Astral Travel.
Robert Dynamics.
Robert Dynamics, yeah. Shout out to Robert Dynamics.
At this point, he owes us some money, bro. We didn't reference that book about 5-6 times.
But, I mean, it's the best book that gives physical techniques that you can do in real time, right? Like I said, every other book is great for the concept of understanding the realm, even understanding it on, like, 4D, 5D, 3D-type planes in the essence of what the universe is, which is helpful. But being, but then some people don't care for that. Some people just are willing to do it or ready to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, now that I have this knowledge, how do I apply it given techniques? And I think that's some of the best ones given techniques, besides doing it yourself and then being able to infer, because it won't be 100% the same for everybody.
Okay.
But on that note, we're going to close out this episode. So y'all know the drill.
Yes, sir. From men to kings.
And from kings to gods.
This has been Fresh Fair Entertainment. Peace, family.
And we out here.